went on to the University of Virginia, where I received a BS degree. At graduation, I had participated in ROTC, so at that point I was commissioned in the regular Army and was commissioned second lieutenant in the regular Army, and consequently 39, we were living in the same house outside of Langley Field, which at that time had a large facility of NACA, which was the predecessor of NASA, the National Advisory Committee of Aeronautics. I was used to hearing airplanes fly over the house all the time, but this one night, it was probably around 7:30 or 8 o'clock, I heard the swishing noise come by the house. And it was fast, but it was so totally unique and strange that it made an impression on me. I had no idea what it was until I began hearing about some of the Foo Fighters in Germany that had come out that were jet-propelled. And I could draw a correlation between the two very easily. I would suspect it was in Japan. After the war was over, we began bringing a lot of things back from overseas. I remember they brought a German U-boat to Fort Monroe, to the piers at Fort Monroe. And during the same period of time, NACA had an open house one weekend. And I headed over to NACA at one of the wind tunnels because I'm interested in aircraft. And all. And in the wind tunnel was what I described as a flying saucer. There was no doubt about the form of the craft that was there. 35 feet in diameter, probably 4 or 5 feet in depth and thickness, but then it just tapered down on the ends. But I got as close to it as maybe 10 feet. And it was on a pedestal. It was propped up. And I thought, that is a strange craft. And this was before the UFO interest began developing. But this had been brought back from Germany, and it was in the wind tunnel. My curiosity was, you know, how is this maneuvered? One section of the slant had a plexiglass canopy over it. And from what I was told, whoever was the pilot would lie down prone and fly this craft from a prone position, and the plastic was over the edge of the flying saucer. And I could see, you know, average pilot could get in. As to how it was propelled, I don't know. I don't remember seeing exhaust. There were no propellers. You know, it wasn't one of those lighter-than-aircraft by any means. There was no visible means of propulsion. So I always took a camera with me whenever I went up. This one particular afternoon, I'd been up probably a half an hour, and I monitored the airport and the tower to make sure that, you know, I was not getting in anybody's way. I usually flew it around 2,000 feet because it's legal minimums over populated areas. And I happened to catch his transmission from the tower. And I don't know who he was talking to. He didn't talk to me particularly, but I monitored it. And so there was a disc-shaped object coming in from the west. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good opportunity. I'll take a look and see if I could see it. And I guess now if I would estimate altitude somewhere, probably not less than 50,000 feet and on up. So I called the tower after they were making people alert of what was coming over the area. And the tower said, you know, what do you want to do? And I said, if you don't mind, would you release me from 2,000 and let me go to 12, which was my, you know, my maximum altitude without oxygen. And they said, well, go right ahead. And it took me several minutes to climb from 2 to 12. And I got up, and about that time this silver ball was passing over. And I took a number of shots on 35-millimeter film as it was going over. And next thing I knew, it was gone. And after I got down, I asked what happened, and they said, well, they had alerted the fighters at Langley to go up and take a look at what it was, and by the time they could get scrambled and get in the air and get to that altitude, it's gone. But since I was working at a station that was owned by the newspaper, I felt free to go to the newspaper, into the photo lab, and I said, I'm really curious as to what we've got here. And if you don't mind, let's develop this film right now. So gave it to the photographer in charge, who was a friend. He developed it. And you could see the silver ball in the picture. And I said, well, let's carry it a little bit further. If you don't mind, let's magnify this. Let's blow it up. And finally we blew it up. I don't know how many times we blew it up until we got to the point where the silver ball filled the whole frame of an 8x10. It was fuzzy, but it was a magnification of what we had just taken. And after we magnified it, it wasn't a circular ball anymore. It was a football-shaped object, more like a cigar-shaped object. It came to points on either end. I didn't make it known to anybody, but somehow somebody knew I had it, and I got a call probably about 6-8 weeks later, and they said, we're into this area of gathering information on possible UFOs near and things like that, and understand that you took some pictures and all. Would you mind loaning them to us so that we could just take a look? And I didn't ask for credentials or anything like that. And I said, well, in addition to pictures, I also have kind of an interesting collection of news items that have come over AP for the past 5-10 years, even maybe not that long, probably 5 years. And I said, we'll bring those along. We'd like, we're interested, and we'd like to look at that. And they gave me an address over in the Fan District in Richmond. It was one of the older homes. I went in. The man that had called me introduced himself and said, real grateful if you bring these over. We'll take good care of them and get them back to you. And
I
know
who he was with.
Didn't say who he was with. Never identified himself.
The
and
government.
Never told me. Never told me who he was. Very normal. The house was not furnished as though it was a home. It was very lightly furnished. It was an older home and didn't have anything in it of any value, as I recall. No antiques and no oriental rugs or anything. And in fact, it was kind of shabby. And it kind of made me curious as to what he did and who else was in the house. But I turned it over to him, and I thought, well, I'll call me when you're finished, or else I'll come back and get it. And he didn't call me for, 2-3 weeks. And I thought, well, that's enough time. Since I didn't hear from him, I didn't have his telephone number, I thought I'd go on back to the house and pick it up. I went back to the house, and the house is empty. There was nobody there. I have no idea who the person was. I was very naive. And more so because I didn't keep a negative on it. And I didn't keep a print. These were original things that I had. And the newspaper didn't keep a copy either, because when we did that, we were just doing it for our own interest. It wasn't for print or publication. And they disappeared from my life forever.
Do you remember the man's name?
It was large enough for me to see it from many, many miles away. And
you don't think it...
And this was a clear day. I think it was like an evening in June or July, when the weather was very tranquil. The direction of flight was just so direct that there was no floating around. It had a course, and it was sticking directly to it, whatever it was. And from I could see it, but it was above the horizon, so it could have been at least 100 miles or more away. And it was over me from the time I'd go to 2 to 12,000 feet. And by the time I got up there, But before the jets could scramble and get in the air, it was gone. A lot of people who have had experiences. And for a while, there seemed to be a concerted effort to ridicule whoever it was that made mention of anything. And like, it's like a lot of things in life now. Disclosure is not being ridiculed anymore. I don't feel the least bit uneasy about talking about things. Went to the Pentagon for a job interview. The major that was interviewing me brought up the subject. It had nothing to do with what I was. He said, if, for example, life exists in other domains, do you believe that people who existed in that area would have a closer relationship to God than we do because of our limited intelligence and insight? And these people obviously are far more advanced than we are. Would their advancement in technology and science provide them a relationship with their higher power? And I thought, what's that got to do with what we're talking about? I'm coming here interviewing for a military job. And we just kind of left it at that. I said, yes, obviously, I think so. The answer to that, would, in my opinion, would be certainly. And we began talking about flying saucers, and I got the typical nebulous but not evasive answers. And one of the things he interviewed, and this goes back quite a while, now there are certain things that do remain in my memory very vividly, and we were talking about different aircraft and UFOs, and we were kind of blending the subject in together very nicely. And I said, you know, what about the aircraft in the future? What are they going to be like? And he said, we have aircraft now. He said, we have vehicles or aircraft now that we could actually fly, but they are so unique and so unorthodox that the public was not conventional. No, you know, I guess he was referring to the fact no rudder, no tail, no wings or whatever, we don't even bother putting them out. Because the director of NASA at Langley. I'm trying to date this to the best of my ability, around 56, 57, something like that. I was stationed at Fort Knox, Kentucky. A lot of the talk that went around Fort Knox was of a P-51 that had scrambled before I got there. Went up after an object that had appeared on radar and the tower had asked him to go up. The P-51 went up, began describing what he had seen, and then disappeared. They never found him. I don't know whether they found pieces of the aircraft, but I don't recall that they even found pieces of the aircraft. He did. I was at Fort Knox up until about 11 o'clock one night, and then got in my car and drove to Fort Campbell, where I had some collateral duties also. Got into Fort Campbell about 1 o'clock in the morning. There was a little diner that stayed open all night. And as I went to the diner for coffee and donuts that night before I went back to the barracks, I noticed it was pretty full. And I thought, well, this is kind of strange. And the MPs were in town. And I said, you know, what's going on? Have you had an accident, aircraft down or something like that? And no, everybody's real excited that a flying saucer had landed behind a nearby farmhouse. And from bits and pieces, I was just trying to pull in as much as I could. And they said, you can't get there because they've got it cordoned off. The MPs have totally surrounded the property. And from what we've gotten from the scene at this point, which is like 1:32 o'clock in the morning, was that this flying saucer had landed. The creatures in the flying saucer had jumped over the house and had landed in the front of the house. The people in the house were frightened to death, absolutely going bananas. One of them grabbed a shotgun, and as one of the creatures went up to the front door to investigate, he fired. a shotgun through the screen door. At that, the people or the creatures from the flying saucer decided this was not a very good place to be. So they ran back out, but before they jumped back over the house, went to the back where the flying saucer was located, and took off and disappeared. MPs were there, and I'm sure this is in a military report somewhere. They were from Fort Campbell, because this is the nearest base, and the ones that were outside were from the base also. So they were from Fort Campbell, and it was probably an hour police, because the state police were out there also. So if we had to track this, it was in the Louisville Courier Journal, and with somebody out there attempting to ridicule everything that's done, it makes it difficult to do a story and have a credible reaction to it when somebody else out there, like politicians are doing now, trying to find fault with precise words and any innuendos or anything else. So I think a lot of the people who choose stories now look at it, I think, from a monetary point of view. If I was responsible for the budget, and I think there's some sort of an embargo somewhere down the line that you don't mention this, let's just pass on it.